Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Hosea chapter 7 verses 8 through 13. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry. The Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Hosea chapter 7, verses 8 through 13. This is part 1 of 2.
All right, current events update. And we'll get right into it with a mention that Christianity is becoming public enemy number one in America. And if you didn't know it, these Black Lives Matter protests are anti-American and anti-Christian. They also hate Israel. The same thing's true about Antifa. But really the same thing's true about most liberal Democrats and progressive Republicans. And so there's still a majority of Republicans that aren't progressive, but that's changing. And things are getting bad, Aunt. But it's getting bad for the devil's crown because it's just going to get better for us. Amen. And I love that passage in Romans that says every day we are a day closer to our salvation than when we first believed. Every day. But in the headlines this past week, there were churches and statues burned and vandalized across multiple U.S. states. And I just want to say, we're opposed to the use of statues and, you know, aids to worship, statues of Mary and the saints and all that kind of thing. But that doesn't... Let me say, I'll try to explain this. As far as those people who hate Jesus and hate the Bible, they don't really know the difference. And so whatever hatred you see directed at a church, even if it was a Mormon church, they don't even know. They just don't want Jesus, even when it's the cults. So you have to understand that. And that's why we don't remain silent, just because it's not a Baptist church that burned down. Now, we had a Baptist church burn down near us 2 weeks ago, and we haven't heard the cause. So we're waiting to hear. It was an old building, so it could be something just... But in Florida, one man crashed his car into the foyer of the Queen of Peace Catholic Church before pouring gasoline in the church and setting it on fire, according to Fox News, and this is repeated by Christian headlines. So the fact that some are attacks on false versions of Christianity is beside the point. This Catholic church was in the midst of conducting its Saturday morning mass at the time of the incident. After setting the building ablaze, the suspect sped away in his vehicle but was eventually caught. Now, there's all kinds of stories about why he did it and everything, but the majority of the attacks that have been reported, we know that it's because of this just hysteria that's going on. Any representation of Jesus in the Bible is hated by these Marxists. How many of you ever read Karl Marx's book, The Communist Manifesto? You ever read that?
Yeah.
A couple of you? And it's very antichrist. I mean, it's against God, religion, marriage, you name it. And it, and these Marxist groups, which Antifa and BLM, Black Lives Matter, are Marxist organizations, and they follow that same spirit. And so there, another story in the headlines was churches burned across America. Why was this not national news? See, there's another thing. Most of these stories didn't even hit the national news. Now, I'm here to tell you that if some Trump supporters or a bunch of Baptists went out and burned down a Black Lives Matter building, you know, it would be nonstop news for weeks. I think that's kind of what he says here. If a Black Lives Matter officer demonstration had been attacked in these ways, such a horrific event would have led the news as it should have. If an anti-abortion activist set a Planned Parenthood clinic on fire with people inside, the world would know immediately about such a reprehensible act. But that's not what happened. So why is there such blatant bias? You see, all this stuff about systemic racism has no basis in fact. But there is an infectious disease called systemic liberalism. And from now on, that's what you're going to hear me talk about whenever this subject comes up. I'm not going to talk about it every time I talk to you. Hey, Pastor Greg, how you doing? There's systemic liberalism. That's what I'm not going to be that bad. But when this subject comes up, and it's just amazing how even a lot of Christians just don't have anything going on upstairs these days. You talk to them. And, you know, going back to Wheelersburg schools when I was a kid, I've told you the stories, some of the stories where teachers would tell kids they couldn't say certain things, they couldn't take certain positions on matters. It was systemic liberalism. They forced you to either agree with the liberal agenda or be silent. And the same thing's going on in culture today. What do you think it is when it says Black Lives Matter all over the neighborhood here in Libtardville, but then you put a sign that says All Lives Matter, and it's like you have to take that down. They start yelling at you, screaming at you. We've got a little bumper sticker, and I've got one left for the window decal in the car. It says All Lives Matter, and we've been cussed at. They was trying to run us off the road. And then we had one guy, like he was going to try to run us off the road, and then he whipped around in front of us and stopped at a red light, and he turned around like he's taking video. I was just like, hi, how you doing, you know? Johnny?
All right. On the news they watched with Rush, I had some good news about that. Because apparently there's a lot of places where they were, you know, spray painting the Black Lives Matter thing in places, and people were attacking it.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, if it's
moving it or replacing it with something else.
Yeah, if it's you know, somebody else's property, they can do what they want. But our point is, it's my property; I can do what I want. It's my car; I'll put All Lives Matter on there if I want to. You know, if it's my home, I'll put a sign out in front of my house if I want to. And if I'm in a school, I'm not going to stop saying things that are true just because you don't like it. You know, that's what's going on. Systemic liberalism. It needs to become the talking point for conservatives probably until the rapture. The world hates the Jesus of the Bible. They like the Jesus of Joel Osteen and some of these other people, but they hate the Jesus that we preach. And Jesus said in John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Meanwhile, everything is racist in our Orwellian libtarded society. And that's what this is. In 1984, it's called Newspeak. Today, it's called political correctness. And it's everything you're told you're not allowed to say. And it's not about the words you're saying. It's about control. It's about controlling you. And so everything's racist. So now, Washington, the NFL, not for long franchise, is dropping the team name and logo after 87 years being known as the Washington Redskins. And I'm not a Redskins fan, but the Cleveland Indians are saying they might do the same thing. It's the corporate sponsors telling them that if they don't change the name, they're going to pull their money. Yeah, it's blackmail. I suggested this new name and logo The Washington Rednecks. I will not be one bit offended by that. And I volunteered to be the mascot.
Amen.
My little squirrel tail hanging off my head there. And yes, that's me, by the way. I don't always look like that, but when I do, that's me.
That's why
you're Jenny's like, I didn't marry that man. Well, speaking of Jenny, yesterday we were out shopping and we came across this racist potato salad yesterday. Red skin potato salad. Red skin potato salad. Somebody's heads need to roll. But we can fix that real quick here. Redneck potato salad. There you go. See? I've solved the problem. I'm a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I come in peace. But however, Jenny suggested we fix the Washington mascot. You don't even have to change their name. They can still be the Washington Redskin Potatoes. See? Mr. Potato Head with a sunburn. Redskin Potato. And he can be their new mascot. They can still be the Washington Redskins. That's your current events update. News you will not get anywhere else. Hosea chapter 7. We are going to pick up where we left off in verse 8 and go through verse 16 and finish our study of Hosea chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 8 through 16, and I want to have you read the even number verses with me. So let's begin with verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. All God's people say amen. Amen. Verse 8. This Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. That doesn't refer to race mixing. That verse is actually used by some to teach that. It's Bible abuse. It is about being unequally yoked with unbelievers. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people, and it's a reference to the same thing that we see with Solomon, that he married women from other nations. That's not a sin. Or Solomon would have sinned marrying Rahab. And Boaz would have sinned marrying Ruth. The sin, the reason Solomon didn't sin is because Rahab had repented toward God and had faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the same thing with Ruth. She had repented toward God. But the problem with Solomon is he took these wives and women and he multiplied wives, which is a problem there, a sin there. God, as Acts I believe it's 17:3 says that the times of this ignorance God hath winked at. And it doesn't mean he's like, you know, like that. It means that he's just kind of winced at it and let it go. And for the time being, and a lot of it has to do with the light you have. All men will be judged according to the light they have. But it also has to do with revelation. Even though Solomon wrote the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, and yet at that time there was still not even, I'd say maybe half the what we have in our Bible was written. Then when there was no New Testament revelation, Solomon also did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit that we have in this dispensation. And so there were a number of reasons I believe God kind of put up with a lot of this stuff. But the big problem was that God warned the king, Solomon, that if they married in with these pagan wives, they would pull them down. They would pull them into apostasy and paganism and idolatry. And that's exactly what happened with Solomon. And in Israel, the northern kingdom, when it split, Solomon's son Rehoboam took the throne. It split. Then Jeroboam, even though God established him as king, set up false gods in Samaria and led, just appointed people as priests by the basest of men instead of as God had picked the sons of Aaron of the tribe of Levi and had a particular family in mind for the priesthood. So all that has happened, and not just in their priesthood, but their whole culture has now just become so intertwined with Baal worship, Moloch worship, and all that. Just pretty disgusting. I want you to look over Exodus 12, though. Started way before there was even a king in Israel. In Exodus 12, verses 37 and 38. Jenny Miller, you there? Read those two verses, please.
And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle.
The movies and the Sunday school materials really don't bring this out, in most cases that I've seen, that when the children of Israel, the Hebrews, came up out of Egypt in this Exodus, it was a mixed multitude. Look at verse 38 there. A mixed multitude. What is that? That's not talking about race. It's talking about different religious pagans. And so it wasn't just Hebrews who worshiped Jehovah. I believe that there was paganism even among the Hebrews. And then there were others who were Egyptians. There were others. Egypt had slaves from all over the world. And from those people came some of these who were a part of the crew that came out of Egypt in the Exodus. Now, turn over a couple pages to chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And verses 1 and 2. You there, John Albaugh?
I sure am.
Go ahead and read verses. Clear your throat first. And then read verses. I know. Read verses 1 and 2 there, if you would.
All right. Chapter 15, Exodus. And they took their journey from Elam. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness.
Now, I believe it's clear to those who read through the book of Exodus carefully, why did that happen? Why did the whole congregation murmur? I'll tell you why I believe it was the mixed multitude. That's why over and over God will tell you not to yoke with unbelievers. Why? unless they become believers and you yoke with them after they've repented and got right with God, they will bring you down.
Yeah.
As a cute little saying Jenny shared from her pastor about gloves. Remember that?
Yeah, you don't get glovey mud. You get muddy gloves.
Think of that. You have white gloves on. You put them in the mud. Does it turn the mud white? Turn your gloves mud. That's what happens to the believer who won't listen to God. And folks, for 30 years, one after another, including some of my own offspring, and some of my own family, some of my own friends, some of my own church family, and on it goes, think they're smarter than God, decide they're going to listen to the pagans and the unbelievers. They choose and pick what they're going to believe out of the Bible, and then one thing after another, into the ditch.
Yeah.
Shipwreck.
Amen.
And that's exactly what caused God to allow the northern kingdom to be destroyed by Assyria. And that's why in Exodus, after being delivered with an amazing miracle, a miracle that is so amazing that today most of the scholars spend their lives trying to disprove it. Why? Because it's so fantastical.
Amen.
That's a Bible word. And you have this mixed multitude bring down the whole congregation that they would then turn on Moses and murmur. Look at as we continue, chapter 32 and verse 1. Exodus 32, 1. You there? Go ahead and read that, Doug.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods, all thee, which shall go before us. For as for thee, Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wrought not what is become of him.
Look at that. Now, first, they're just murmuring. Now, Moses is up on the mount too long. They grow impatient. What do? They get the whole place together. The people gathered themselves together in there, and they start making idols. And if you wonder, and I've said this over and over, churches that when I got saved in 1990, right here in Franklin County and down in southern Ohio, where I am familiar, preached the gospel. Most of them still use the King James Bible. Fast forward 30 years later, they're using corrupt Bibles. And if they do preach a gospel, it's almost never involving the repentance of sin. And it's almost always just a head thing. But a lot of them don't even bother. And how'd they get there? Well, once you start going down that road and you don't preach the biblical gospel and you start worrying about things like numbers of people in the pews and numbers of money, then you start to fill your place with unbelievers. The mixed multitude then destroys that church.
Yeah.
And it's happened over and over. I just watch it and watch it. And I've actually tried to warn some of these churches through the years. And I'm just a troublemaker. I'm sowing discord. I have to explain it. You sow discord when you preach a false gospel. You sow discord among the brethren when you promote corrupt Bibles. And you sow discord when you bring in unsaved people as members of the church. It's not the guy calling it out. Remember, what was it, Elijah? Art thou who troubled Israel? Is that Ahab said that? And he says, you're the one troubling Israel, not me.
You heard that one recently, yeah.
And one last, just right there where we're at, but verse 23 and 24. Then you get the Moses, his associate pastor. I used to love it when I was associate pastor and a preacher would say that. But verses 23 and 24, Aaron, look how he responds. And Jill, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Could you read verses 23 and 24?
For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf.
Ta-da!
Woo! That is amazing.
I love that.
Magnifico. Another Bible word there. I love that because that's how people do. When they'll respond and they'll say the dumbest things to you and expect you to just say, oh, okay. That's how they do it. We just put all the earrings and everything in, melted them down, and out came this calf. So what? Then you're like, well, let's just dance around it and pray to it then. Well, that's what happens when you have a mixed multitude. Yoking with unbelievers results in spiritual decay and decline. And, of course, we're living it. So back in Hosea chapter 7, in verse 9 says, strangers have devoured his strength. That's talking about this mixed multitude. And he knoweth it not. And that's what happens. How many of you talk to Christians today and you're begging and pleading with them to open their eyes? Just see Brother Albaugh afterwards if you want a recent story. And you plead with people. And what's it say? He knoweth it not. They'll just look at you like you're crazy. You're crazy. There ain't nothing wrong with our church. It's still, we have plenty of people, we have good offerings, we still sing great music, and they've even put in spotlights, and now we have a wonderful stage set up, and we're going to put the fog machine in there. And you know what I mean? And it's like,
we can have a dance.
And that's what it looks like, a disco, you know, tech or something.
I just wanted to mention this in that part for Exodus 32, 23, 34. I mean, maybe it's too obvious, but notice that they say, the man, Moses, who led us out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you their unbelief there. That I'm pretty sure up until that point, God
keep that point, because you're going to see that right here in the Hosea text. That's right. That's a good point. Goes on and says, yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. So I say this, what we're reading about, explains the modern Laodicean professing Christian we're dealing with. You know, you try to talk to them, you can show them the evidence. Sit down, I can show, we've years ago put out a video called New Versions or Vatican Versions. And I can't get people to watch it. But I'll tell you this, most of the people who watch it come back and say, that was pretty amazing. And I say, it's not because I'm the ugly mug talking on the thing. It's because of the facts.
Amen.
And when you get the facts, you realize the Church of Jesus Christ, as far as the professing physical Church of Jesus Christ, has been conned.
Amen.
And it's put in their hands a corrupt book. And it's producing a corrupt, false church. And where they do still preach the old book and preach the gospel and everything, it's very rare that they don't have a lot of empty pews today. Because people eat up the slop. They don't really want to hear plain, simple truth anymore. They love the slop. And confronting them is an exercise in futility most of the time. It gets aggravating. And it's just amazing.